But Homo erectus was more successful than other mammals, simply because it had the ability to adapt to rapid cyclical changes in ice age climate, which took place after 780,000 years ago. These changes were particularly sharp in Europe, where there were ice sheets over much of northern latitudes during glaciations. On the other hand, in Asia, early Asians foraged in thick forests and sometimes in more open country using a simple but highly adaptive toolkit which remained in use until at least, and this is a long period of time, 75,000 years ago, and in some places considerably later. The reason this happened is probably that a great deal of their technology was in bamboo, and the technology required to hunt and forage for plant foods in rainforest is not particularly elaborate. By a quarter of a million years ago, Homo erectus had evolved considerably as far as skeletal morphology and brain size was concerned, not only in Asia, but also among their very distant relatives in the far west. These changes were related to brain size in particular, because humans were acquiring new skills, and they were acquiring these new skills because they had the ability increasingly to interact with one another, to plan hunts, to cooperate, because many of the most successful hunts depend on an ability to cooperate with others. But the population of Asia, the population of the Sahara, the population of the more open areas of South Asia at this time, was minuscule. It's very easy for us in our crowded modern world to think that there were a lot more people around at this stage of prehistory than there actually were. You're talking about a few thousand people scattered over a vast, varying landscape in teeny bands, many of which probably had almost no contact with neighbors through their short lives. Life expectancy was extremely short, probably at the most for most people in their 20s. They were living in predator-rich environments, still equipped with very rudimentary weaponry, and their most effective tool against being eaten, killed and eaten, was their sheer mobility. Their ability to move, their ability to smell, their ability increasingly to communicate with each other, maybe even with some rudimentary sounds to give warning of danger. You see, increasingly humans were becoming emotional people, people who communicated their feelings with smiles and frowns, movements of the head and grunts. And this ability translated probably, although we do not know, of course, into slightly more complex social institutions, maybe even larger bands of people living together, foraging and hunting. But humans were still very much part of a larger animal community. They were increasingly efficient predators in a world crammed with predators, and they were increasingly skilled at adapting to climatic extremes. And within all this was a constant mobility that had populations flowing back from Asia to other areas. No part of the world was completely isolated, although obviously in terms of contact we're talking about something much smaller scale than was the case in later times. And much of the time these teeny populations were isolated within their large hunting territories with little contact with anyone else. In this lecture, we've talked about the radiation of Homo erectus out of Africa. We talked about the first Homo erectus fossils in Africa itself. And we've talked about the first settlement of Asia and some general principles of human behavior at the time. This is a black hole in our knowledge of prehistory. We still know very little about these critical movements that brought people into the wider world. In the next lecture, we'll move on to slightly firmer ground when we discuss the first settlement of Europe and the very different human societies which developed there after 800,000 years ago.